probably many of you, except if you're very, very young, you probably are familiar with a gentleman who was named Bob Ross. This is a person that passed away some time ago, not too long ago, but a little while back. But he was a very skilled artist. I remember watching that as a boy. I think it ran on the KET station for a long time. And I was just always amazed by the way that he could start off, and you would think, what is he getting ready to paint? And he began to just put some paint on the board, and before long, it was just this beautiful picture. He did landscapes, you know, paint mountains and trees and lakes and so forth. And I was just always amazed by that. I have absolutely no artistic ability whatsoever, but I can appreciate those who do. And those who are able just to be able to take those colors and put those brushes to the canvas and come up with some beautiful masterpieces. But I got to thinking about that as I thought about the sermon this morning. You know, sometimes if you began to look at what he was doing and you just focused at one mark or here or there, whatever, it really doesn't look like it's going to turn out to be anything. But if you look at the entire picture, if you wait until it's done, it's a beautiful picture. There are a lot of things that the Bible paints a beautiful picture of. If we'll just look at the whole of it. If we just look at a verse here or there, or just a chapter here or there, we might miss the point. But if we'll take the time to look at it and to get everything together and look at it as a whole, we can sometimes see a beautiful picture that the Bible has painted for us. I think it is a great, in fact, I don't think, I know it is a great privilege to be in the family of God. We talked about that a little while in the Bible class this morning. Now think about what the Bible says in John chapter 1 as it begins to talk about the Word, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And when you come down to verse 10, the Bible says that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But verse 12 says, but to them that received Him, or as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says that because of the love of God, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we can be the sons of God. I'm thankful for that. And your condition is the same if you've obeyed the gospel of Christ. This morning, for a little while, I want us to be in the book of Acts. Other than some side references, our entire sermon is going to be taken from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a beautiful book like the other books of the Bible. And it's valuable to us. It has purpose. It has meaning. If it did not, it would not be included in the inspired Word of God. But the book of Acts really serves as a link between the four accounts of the gospel and the epistles that follow after it. One has said before, and I think it's a good statement, that it's really the hub of the Bible. That all things before it point to the events in Acts chapter, or in the book of Acts, and everything after Acts really points back to the events that are contained in the book of Acts. I want us to think about the picture that is painted of God's people in the book of Acts. And there are a lot of things that we could look at. This lesson will not be a lengthy lesson. We're only going to look at about 14 points this morning. And it won't take us too long to do that very thing. But I want us to look throughout the book of Acts as we think about God's people. In order to be a child of God, one must obey the gospel of Christ. We've talked about that. I end every sermon by extending an invitation, telling individuals what they must do in order to become a child of God. The only way that we can become a child of God is to do what they did as recorded in the book of Acts, to become a member of God's family. Without exception, these individuals, and by the way, the book of Acts serves as a great book of the conversions. All these various conversions that are listed in the book of Acts, they heard the truth. You cannot obey what you do not know. And so you have to hear in order to become a Christian. But it doesn't stop there. You've got to believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, the Bible says that God will add you to His church. Acts chapter 2 and then verse 47. And so when you read about the disciples in the book of Acts, these were individuals who did what most of you have done. They've done what I've done, obeyed the gospel of Christ and been added to the blood body institution, the greatest institution to ever be known to man, the body of Christ. So let's think about God's people for just a moment as pictured in the book of Acts. First of all, these individuals were completely dedicated to the Lord, willing to forsake all, even if it meant that their life would come to a close. Think about that as pictured in the book of Acts. You think about Stephen, who in Acts chapter 7 began to preach about the risen Savior, began to teach about Jesus Christ. And those people did not enjoy that sermon. They were not satisfied with what Stephen had to say. He used some rather pointed words with him. There's a sermon that is very good sermon that's needed today. Fun to preach. I enjoy it. The type of preaching that is needed today. The preaching today that is needed is like Stephen did in Acts chapter 6. Heart-piercing preaching. Cut to the heart type of preaching. And that's what he did. The Bible says when they heard these words or these things, Acts 7 verse 54, they were cut to the heart, they gnashed on Him with their teeth, but He being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, said, I've had enough, I'm not going to do it anymore. Is that what your Bible says? You know better. He says in verse 46, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon Him with one accord. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin upon their charge or to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, there's a lot of similarities between Stephen and the Lord. Not that he was better than the Lord, don't mistake the point, but a lot of similarities. Jesus had those people who had crucified Him on His mind when He was suspended between heaven and earth. Father, forgive them. Stephen being stoned because they rejected the teaching that He had given to them. Father, lay not this sin to their charge. And when He had said this, He died. But He was faithful and discharging that duty and teaching the gospel to others. And you think about others throughout the book of Acts. I think about James when you come over to Acts chapter 12. Up to this point, it was religious persecution against the church. But beginning in Acts chapter 12, it was persecution from the government, civil persecution. The Bible says, Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to beg certain of the church. And he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when they had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. You can't help but to see the dedication of God's people in the book of Acts. Persecuted shortly after the establishment of the Lord's church and throughout the book of Acts. In fact, the book of Acts closes with the Apostle Paul being in prison. Remember that? But he was faithful in discharging his duty as a gospel preacher. But there's something else I want you to think about as we think about the beautiful picture of God's people painted in the book of Acts. And that is that they were united in doctrine. In Acts chapter 2, I don't know all the extent of all the background of those people that were present on that occasion. We know it was devout men, Jews out of every nation under heaven, that had come to Jerusalem for that event. In keeping with the law. In Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which by the way was a promise, never a command, but it was a promise to the apostles. Luke 24:49. Some today would tell you that they're going to impart unto you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was not a command, it was a promise. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me, for John truly baptized with the Holy, or with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. The Lord said in Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. And in Acts 2, the apostles, along with those other Jews, were present in the city of Jerusalem. The apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter stood up and he preached to them about the risen Savior. They were pricked in the heart. It's back to that heart-pricking preaching that's needed today. Acts 2 and then verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, Peter told them, you've crucified the Son of God. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And he told them in verse 38 to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remember that? The promises unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2:39. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 40. Then they that gladly received his word, I wish there were more people today that would gladly receive the word of the gospel. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then verse 42 says that they continued together steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now think about that. They were unified in doctrine. The religious world today is religiously divided and not in unity, but the beautiful thing about God's people, as painted in the book of Acts, is that they were unified in doctrine. In Acts 4 and in verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Notice the first part of that verse, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. What a blessing it is to be among people who are of one heart and of one soul. The only way to do that and to achieve that is to go by the same standard. That's the only way that we can have the unity that they had. Philippians chapter 3 and then verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Folks, when we go by the same rule, we'll mind the same thing. When we walk by the same rule, we mind the same thing, we'll walk in the same doctrine that they did. And we'll have the unity that God expects us to have. The unity of which Jesus prayed that the disciples would have, John 17:20-21, that would believe on Him through their word. The number three, as we look at it, the beautiful picture of God's people as painted in the book of Acts, we learn that they loved each other enough to sacrifice for and to help each other, including material possessions. We just read Acts chapter 4 and then verse 32. The last part of that says, neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. I ask you the question, do we have that mentality today? That says, what I have, it's not mine. I share it with others. Can I say that? You can answer that for me. I can't answer that for you. But we've got to be honest enough to answer it ourselves. God already knows. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says that He knows all things. So here, He already knows the honest answer to that question. But they loved each other enough to make the sacrifice for one another. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 44. And all that believed. Now, by the way, all that believed were all those that continued steadfastly in their doctrine, verse 42. All those that continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine were all those that had been baptized, Acts 2 and verse 41. All those that did those things were all those that saved themselves from that untoward generation, verse 40, all the way back up. To all those that heard it, repented, and were baptized for the remission of their sins. But again, he said, verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. I wonder if I would do that. And you need to say, I wonder if I would do that for yourself. But I wonder if a brother or sister had need and could not fulfill that need. Is there something that I have that I would say I'm not willing to part with that to meet their need? Notice what he says. They sold their possessions to meet that need. Would we do that? If we would answer in the negative, then the picture of us is not nearly as beautiful as the picture that the Bible paints of them. That was their disposition. That they loved one another enough to do that. Come with me over to chapter 4 and then verse 32. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, as we read a moment ago. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That's how much that they loved one another. But not only that, number four. When we look into the pages of the book of Acts, we find out that they were highly evangelistic. They were concerned about spreading the gospel message. They were concerned about others knowing what they had obeyed. Do we do that? We've got a good work of which you participate. You just lay by something in store that the work might continue here. That others, as was prayed, would hear the gospel. They too were serious about that. And we see that painted of them. We see that picture of them being evangelistic. When they obeyed the gospel of Christ, they were concerned about others, that they wanted others to know about that. In Acts 5 and in verse 28. I can't imagine what the apostles went through, beginning in Acts chapter 3 and in Acts chapter 5. And initially, they were just beaten. Then in Acts chapter 5, or initially they were just threatened, rather. Then in Acts chapter 5, they're going to be beaten. But they were asked the question, did not we straightly command you, Acts 5 and then verse 28, that you should not teach in this name? What if you were commanded that? What if you had that put forth to you? And behold, now listen at this. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Have we been busy about trying to fill London, Kentucky with the doctrine of Christ? That's what these people were accused of doing. In fact, they were guilty as charged in teaching the gospel to others. Right? Preaching and laying the blame right where it squarely belonged. But the Sanhedrin wasn't going to have anything to do with it. You're intending to bring this man's blood upon us. Did we command you not to teach in this man's name? They were concerned about others. In verse 42, after they had been spitefully treated, beaten, verse 40. The Bible says in verse 42, daily in the temple and in every house, that's both public and private, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There ought not be a time when this good church says, let's take a break. Let's rest a while from teaching the gospel of Christ. Now's not the time to rest. Now's the time to labor. And our retirement, our rest is eternal in heaven. Not now. Now's the time to be working. And that doesn't begin and just end with me. It begins with me all the way around the room. Right? Each and every single one of us need to be doing that. Teaching and preaching the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 8. This is after the stoning of Stephen, Acts 7, as we visited a moment ago. They laid their clothes down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. In Acts 8:1, that Saul was still breathing out threatenings against the disciples, or he consented to Stephen's death. And at that time there arose a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea, except the apostles. Some, I would say, well, that was the end of them. They've been persecuted. They are now scattered. They are gone to disband, and that will be the end. But that was not the end. Because in verse 4, the Bible says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were highly evangelistic as they sought to teach the gospel to others. And then in verses 14 beginning, the apostles had heard at Jerusalem that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they came down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet He was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And it continued to be preached. People continued to be taught the gospel of Christ. But not only were they dedicated, not only were they united in their doctrine and that they loved one another and parted their goods and made distribution to other men, not only were they fervently evangelistic, but the Bible teaches that they were people of prayer. Probably one of the most highly neglected areas of Christians' lives today is the prayer life. There's probably a number of reasons that could be given for that, but one of them is that people get busy, they involve themselves with a lot of things going on, and before you know it, I forgot to pray today. I got so busy I forgot to do X, Y, Z, whatever it was. But the picture that is painted of the disciples in the first century, in the book of Acts, is that they were people of prayer. Again, in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Again, over to Acts chapter 4, where they were being persecuted. The apostles were being persecuted. Verse 24, the Bible says, when they heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. They went to God in prayer. Over in Acts chapter 12 and in verse 5. Acts 12 verse 5. Peter was in prison, and the Bible says that Peter therefore was kept in prison, but what took place? What was the church doing? While this fellow soldier of the cross was in prison, the Bible says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then in verse 12, when they had considered, or when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. The Bible commands us to pray. We're familiar with that, right? We're aware of the fact that it's not just a privilege, but it's a command. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then verse 17, pray without ceasing. Or Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 6 talks about the fact that we are to pray to God. We've been engaged in that this morning. Hopefully that won't be the last time. I know it won't be at this service, but hopefully in our private life. We'll take the time to spend it in prayer. That is, if we want our picture to be just as beautiful as the picture we find of the Christians in the first century. But not only that, we find that they gladly received and studied the Word of God. That was the disposition of individuals in the first century. Not all of them, but many of them were described that way. In Acts chapter 17, and in verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Again, Acts 2 and then verse 41. For they that gladly received His Word were baptized. Let me ask you the question this morning. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you're listening to the gospel being preached. You're listening to the truth. Can it be said of you that when you hear it, that you're going to do as they did? You're going to gladly receive it and obey? Respond in obedience? Why not? If the answer would be no. But we hope that answer would be yes. But we'd have the mindset that says, I want to hear it and believe it, not be a forgetful hearer, as James talks about in James chapter 1. But that we would obey the gospel as the Lord would talk about in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. So they shined forth as a light for the Lord. You're familiar with what the Lord stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We alluded to that in the Bible class. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord talked about in that passage that they were a light, a city set on a hill. Remember? That they were the salt of the earth. Their influence mattered. Their lives mattered as individuals would see what they were doing and not give them a pat on the back, but that they would give God glory. In the book of Acts, we read that the disciples let their light shine before others, praising God, Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Think about that. Having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved in Acts 4 and in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Now, notice what they were able to extract from that, from their conduct, from their teaching. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So I ask you this morning, can people tell by the way you conduct your life and by what you say and the manner of your life that they can take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus? Not physically, we know that. But that you have spent time in the Word of God listening to those words, sitting at the feet of the Master Teacher Himself as you read and study from the sacred volume of God, and people can take knowledge of you that you have been with the Lord. Can they? Is that the picture? That when they step back and they look at your life and they look at my life and that's what they conclude based upon what they see? In Acts chapter 17 and in verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren and the rulers of the city crying. Notice this phrase. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Can that be said of us? That we're turning the world upside down. No, he's not talking about lawlessness. He's not talking about what you see today in media and people disobeying, disregarding the law and so forth and so on, and rioting and violence and those sorts of things. But through what they were teaching, it impacted those about them. Most in a negative way and a lot in a positive way, as many of them obeyed it. But not only that, but they spoke the truth even when it hurt. And as he said of us, that we speak the truth even when it hurts. Notice some of these references, at least a couple of them. Acts chapter 20. And in verse 20, Paul says, I've kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Similar to Acts 5 and in verse 42. Public and private teaching. He said, I've not kept anything back. That was profitable to you. That's a challenge for any gospel preacher. Is to not hold back, to not keep back. I'll just be forthright with you. There's not a sermon one that to this point that I've looked at and said, no, I better not teach that. Those are the ones that need to be taught to preach to the needs of the people. Sometimes individuals may say, preacher, was you talking to me when you preached that sermon? The response of any preacher ought to be, you're right, I was talking to you. I was talking to myself and everyone else. I'm not preaching to the walls. But they preached it even when it hurt them. Even when they didn't want to hear it. Look at verses 26 and 27. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. Paul, how are you pure from the blood of all men? Because I'm not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Second Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2 talks about preaching basically when it's wanted and when it's not wanted. Listen, they were so dear to one another that when they parted company with one another, they wept. Do you care enough about those sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you, that if you had to part company, not knowing if you would ever see one another again, you would part with tears? We read about that in Acts chapter 20, verses 27 and 28. Take heed, therefore. Or 37, 38 rather. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul said, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. In Colossians, Paul would record in chapter 2 and in verse 2 that their hearts were knit together in love. But not only that, we read as we look at this picture of the New Testament Christians that they worship God in spirit and in truth. Acts 2 and in verse 42. Jesus said that God is a spirit, John 4, 24, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And we continue to do that even down to this present time. And not only that, they had the courage to obey God rather than men when there was a conflict. Remember in Acts chapter 5, in verse 29, for we ought to obey God rather than men. Isn't that beautiful? That come what may, no matter what threats are hurled at us today, that we will obey God rather than men. Is that your attitude? Is that my attitude? It was their attitude, and it ought to be ours today. Here's one I really enjoy. They were filled with joy of being a Christian. In chapter 2 and in verse 46. And there's others you could add to the list. They, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Rejoice evermore, Paul would pen in 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 16. In Acts 8:39, when the eunuch had been baptized into Christ, they come up out of the water and he went on his way what? Rejoicing. Remember that? The apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. In Acts 16:34, being in prison, Paul and Silas at midnight did what? Sing praise unto God. And the prisoners heard them. The jailer, after his conversion, rejoiced with his house. Remember that? They rejoiced to be counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. We've already looked at those references. Chapter 5, verse 41. And Paul suffered, and he talked about his persecution in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And other passages talk about that. One more point. As we think about the beautiful picture painted in the book of Acts of God's people, and that is that they were happy to be simply Christians. Nothing more, nothing less. In Acts chapter 11, and in verse 26, the Bible says, when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Three times the prophet Isaiah prophesied that God would call his people by a new name. Isaiah 56:5, Isaiah 62:2, and Isaiah 66:15. You read about the Christians here, Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And in 1 Peter 4:16, therefore, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. What a beautiful picture that we have in the book of Acts of God's people that ought to describe each and every one of us. Each and every one of us ought to be able to relate to the things that I've presented this morning. But maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. You can obey the gospel and become a Christian if that's your desire. And then have these characteristics in your life. Let these things describe you. I shared with you at the beginning of the sermon how to become a Christian. I hope that if you're not a Christian that you've thought about those things. You've heard the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? John 8:24. Will you repent of your sins? God will forgive you of everything that you've ever done. Every sin that you've ever committed if you'll repent of and obey the gospel of Christ. We confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. The Lord commanded that, Matthew 10:32-33. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord. You're not living as you should. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you want heaven to be your eternal home, come right now.